It's not working at all.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and get started while Shelly continues to try to get Rosie zoomed in with us. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. Today is Monday, May 8th at 7 p.m. Can I have a roll call?
Yes. Schumacher?
Here.
Yes. Pasola?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Crawford is absent. Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen? Hopefully be on Zoom.
Yes.
And Reifstek?
Yes.
Thank you.
And recognition of visitors. We have the Friends of the Library.
Susan.
Russ.
Walter. We have our library director.
Yes.
And we have
Molly Kremsky.
Mike Kremsky.
Sorry.
Rachel Reese.
Okay. Any amendments to the agenda? Any amendments? Okay, so no amendments. Have it?
I'm sorry, no.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. And we have another presentation. Okay. Ready? Okay, so we're going to go ahead and begin with our presentations. Hi, Lisa.
Has been our facilitator for our creative writing group for the last 8 years. She came to me one day and says, I have a great idea. So her and I sat and worked on it, put our thoughts together, and she created this group that has grown over the years with membership. There's been people that have had books published and articles and poems, and we're so appreciative of the group that she created and all the help she did. So we just want to honor you. So
yes.
Go ahead. You can read
okay,
that.
Lisa.
Oh, okay.
This is a certificate of appreciation for facilitating the Yorkville Public Library Adult Creative Writing Group. Your certificate is presented to Lisa Macchione. Thank you for helping to create and lead our group since the June of 2015. Your dedication and efforts have been a positive impact on our community and helped many writers achieve their writing goals. We have been fortunate to have you as our leader, and we will miss your encouragement and your guidance.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh my gosh, book art. Yes. Thank you. It's been such an honor to be a part of this community and serve this library. And all the people that I've gotten to meet and everything, it's just been really, really wonderful and such an honor for me. So thank you all so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So if we can go ahead and approve our minutes in the packet. We have a facilities committee meeting and our regular meeting.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from the Physical Facilities Committee meeting of Monday, April 10th, 2013, and the Yorkville Public Library Board meeting of Monday, April 10th, 2013.
Second. Roll call.
Petzola?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
Okay. Correspondence, Shelley?
I included a correspondence in your packet on page 13. Was a letter state librarian received from the Secretary of State and the state librarian talking about the legislation House bill that he drafted, 2789, that protects individuals' fundamental rights to read and recognizes that we need to honor those decisions made by our state public school, academic, and special libraries. And that if we do not honor those, that we would lose public funding for the future.
Okay. Thank you. That's for our review. And public comment. Any public comments at this time? Okay. Friends of the Library report.
I wasn't in attendance this morning. However, I got really good notes to share with you. So our current balance as of today is $19,541.78. And at the meeting, the Friends of the Library approved the wish list for adult services in the amount of $8,785. We also approved the wish list for children's services in the amount of $3,125. The used book sale meetings that will begin next month after a regular meeting, so it'll run through the summer. And the summer end sale hasn't been decided as of yet. Our ongoing discussions on becoming a 501c3 are still happening. But we're not moving as fast as I'd like, but we're moving, and so that's always a good thing. We're not standing. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see Beth Gambro come and present her tablescape fundraiser, but maybe we'll hear a little bit more about it.
I don't know if you're familiar with tablescaping. I was not.
No.
So Beth Gambro, she works for the school district, and she came up with an idea for a fundraiser. And she's seen it done in Glen Ellen, where she's from originally, and it's companies and organizations decorate a table in a theme. I mean, these are elaborate decorated tables, and then they sell tickets for you to come in and view the tables, and usually there's music, and maybe you invite local businesses to serve refreshments, and that, she says it's very successful. It's really quite interesting, so Google tablescaping. But they're going to give it a try for next year, and we'll see how it goes. It's a specific demographic, I think.
And then you choose a theme?
She has themes. So if we did 12 tables, she was thinking the first year, that it would be, each table would represent a month.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Any staff comment? Or the staff here?
Can I just jump in for something I wanted to share with Susan and everybody?
Okay.
For the Friends.
For the Friends,
with
yes.
The book sale.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone who works with the Lamont. She's on the board, was on the board of the Lamont Library.
Mm-hmm.
She runs their book sale. She's been doing it for years. And she just had an interesting, they had an overload of cookbooks. So they had just a pop-up, like a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
for like 2-3 hours. And she said they just for that little bit, and it didn't take a whole lot of volunteers. They made like $700 selling cookbooks.
Whoa!
So just something to throw out. She said that was the first time they tried that.
Yeah.
They do a book sale twice a year, and she said they just had. They're just doing cookbooks.
Probably. Last year there was an abundance of cookbooks. I mean, that took up like two tables.
Well, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah,
she shared that. I think they just had done it twice, and like one was like $500 and one was like $700. But they just took like a day.
A dedicated day.
A Saturday morning for like 3 hours.
Good idea.
Do they sell? Do our cookbooks? Do our cookbook sell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it might be a good idea.
Yeah. Inventory that they were hoping to do.
Good idea.
And
yeah.
Need someone
to help. Well, treasurer, you're part of our treasurer.
Nothing like very outstanding bill-wise, which is nice. On page 22, there's a payout to Jessica Storr. I'm not
sure.
Okay. And that's for our chair yoga and our cooking class.
Okay.
And so Dixie was telling me that it was almost $400, but friends are reimbursing us for that. That's very good to know.
Okay.
And if you go to, we're kind of at our year end, well, we are at year end. If you look on page 29, it's very little and hard to read. If you look at the outside repair maintenance, we did add an overage from what was budgeted. 231.97% over. And, of course, that's because of the our issues with our HVAC and our flood.
Yes.
But then again, if you go to 30.
Page 30.
Page 30 is the page. The fund surplus for.
General fund.
Thank you. I'm trying to read this. General fund. We have an overage.
Okay, so
we ended it with $72,925, where we projected we would be at a deficit.
That's good.
And the same. That was for both the general and expenditures.
Okay.
We were a surplus there of $81,000.
Capital fund.
I'm having a hard time.
That's okay.
It's too little.
The capital, we had a surplus of $81,434, and that also was projected to be a deficit. So that's good news.
That is good news, especially with the two things that took place, the HVAC.
Yeah, so it's kind of, So I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the bills as presented with accounts payable in the amount of $16,356.94 and payroll in the amount of $40,825.38 for total disbursements of $57,182.32.
Second. Roll call.
Pasola?
Yes.
Milczewski?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
Report of our library director. That's good.
Right. But we did stamp 434 passports. So that's 434 people, including our patrons, but other library patrons coming in through the library. So that was pretty successful. And so we look forward to doing it again next year.
I think with them not requiring you to visit every single library, that encouraged more people to
participate.
Mm-hmm. And I actually had our department heads go out and do this as well, to visit other libraries and talk to them.
That's
see
good.
What they're up to as well.
What was their feedback? Did they say?
So that's where our seed library came from. That idea came last year from another library, had that.
Okay.
And, I don't know if you're familiar, we do have a seed library in our lobby. You can help yourself to the seeds. They are complements of Pearl from Pharmacy Farm Stand in New York. So she's been gracious to give us the seeds, and we just encourage people to come pick them up, and then hopefully next year when they harvest, that they collect their seeds and bring some back, and we can start building our own collection in case we don't get the donation from Pearl.
That was nice.
So, let's see here. Mike's going to be doing a genealogy monthly workshop here at the library. He does a program. He will do an evaluation and ask what patrons might like to see come to the library, and that has been an overwhelming ask from patrons, is some sort of genealogy class. So
okay.
They're going to try one in May this month and one in June. We're going to do it on a Saturday, and it's going to be basically like a workshop. You bring your computer, and then this genealogy enthusiast will get you started.
And go through the app, or whatever it is that you use.
Right.
Okay.
We can use, when we're in the library,
yes.
We can use our ancestry database
okay.
that we have. We're now offering 6 weekly ELL classes. Yeah, here at the library, so that's been wonderful. We have 14 students registered, and all different speaking levels as well. We had 25 people help us volunteer clean up for the Earth Day celebration, so that was very nice. It went well, even though we had the grapple. It looks very nice. We are going to be included with the city going for an RFP for cleaning services, so that will be coming up.
That's good.
So the governor announced the end of the COVID disaster declaration and for May 11th. So that means that public bodies will no longer be able to do remote, with the exception of an illness, emergency, or something that takes you out of town on business. And those can be requested. But we need to have a electronic meeting policy in place, which we don't have. So I'll work on that and bring that to the next meeting for approval. Let's see here. Seed library. I finished staff evaluations. This week I'll be finishing the managers, but the part-time staff have all been done. They are currently going through their yearly required harassment training. And I'm creating a sunshine committee for the library. And it's just going to help promote positivity, kindness,
that's a good idea.
And camaraderie with the staff. So that should be fun. I can't remember if I told you this last month, we had a generous check from the Yorkville Garden Club.
I think we did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very good. I had a brief chat with the director of operations at the school district to talk about the construction activity that's going to be taking place this month with the field.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to make sure that our
parking lot was not utilized with the trucks, construction coming and going and that, so she just let us know how that's going to take place.
Okay.
So it was just good to touch base with her on that. As you know, I attended the Director of the University last month. That was excellent. I'm very excited that I was chosen, that I could go and attend, and met a lot of great people, made some good connections, and learned some things along the way. So, and I believe that is it for my report. The rest is all statistics.
Okay. Thank you. Our council liaison is not present today, so standing for meetings, we have the minutes from the last meeting, and we talked about the last meeting, so we didn't have any other policy meetings or committee meetings.
No committee meetings.
Okay. So then we'll go on to our unfinished business, which is continuing the discussion approval to adopt the regulations waiving the non-resident fee for persons under the age of 18. And so we did begin this discussion last month, and we tabled it to continue because we had questions that we wanted to entertain with our director. So she's here now, and if those that had questions were able to pose those questions to her before we move on to deciding if we're going to either adopt it and approve it tonight.
Okay. What's the fee for a non-resident?
Based on a formula.
Okay.
But we use the tax bill method.
Okay.
So when someone comes in and they're out of city limits, we pull up their tax bill and we take their EVA, assessed value, and then we use the multiplier, and it's the same multiplier that is used for residents.
Okay.
So, and that varies depending on the tax bill that. Or the current tax year that we're in.
Okay.
So it is, you're paying the same amount, percentage, you're paying the same percentage that a person in the city limits is. Theirs is included in their tax bill.
So it's being paid up front versus being paid in your tax bill.
In your, yeah.
So it's not technically an astronomical amount, I guess is my question.
It depends on the value of your home or property.
Okay. And then I did have a question too, and this may or may not, but I'm just thinking in the sense of economics and fiscal responsibility and things like that, as far as we have to, I was reading there's a $2 million influx that we will have from the city for operations and capital improvements for the library.
Was that in the paper?
Correct.
So they're stating what our budget is.
That's what I was wondering, if it was an influx of or if it was our budget. Right. And so I was like,
not
that's
an
issue. That changed our minds to letting, non-residents in the library. So that's what I wanted to clarify.
It's
that's
not too much.
Yeah. I was like, okay, with all the okay. I think I have my questions answered.
Any other questions on, I know there were a lot of questions raised.
Well, we talked about tracking it.
That was something that came up last month.
Do we currently track as far as cards for non-resident?
So, yeah, we definitely do. I pulled up the IPLARS from the last few years, going back to 2017, we had 68 non-resident cards for the year. 2018, we had 111. 19, we had 110. 20, we had 136. And I believe that is kind of, they froze. During COVID, they froze the expiration, so some of those are in rollover. So then in 21, we had 79. 22, we had 81. And as of October 17th of 22, for our 23 IPLAR, at the time when I presented to you guys, we had 80.
Shelley, do you have the corresponding document? I do. Just for 20, like for the 80.
Yeah,
for the 80?
Of the 2020.
$9,635.38.
And those are residents that paid for...
Those are residents that paid for a non-resident cart. And so when we were at that, we had that meeting, and I gave you the spreadsheet with the colors.
Yes.
I went in, because we don't track the demographic on the non-resident carts.
Right.
So I went in and looked at each non-resident card to see if there was a link to a child's card. That's what we usually do. It's we take the parent or guardian, and then we'll link it to the kid's card. So that's why I highlighted these yellow and green. And the yellow ones meant that these were families that had children in them. So, and then I added up what they paid, and that totaled $3,500. So that's where I was getting that number, is that would be less from our budget. But I actually put $3,500 in our budget.
Right, to kind of cover that. Mm-hmm. And that $3,500 is subtracted from that total of $9,000, because it's just the ones with the children's cards.
Yes. So it just gives you a snapshot.
Any other questions? There were a lot of questions last month.
Did anyone contact the school district to find out if you guys have access to, you know?
There's going to be a little bit of change going on here,
so might be something to definitely look into soon. Okay.
So no further questions? I know we had a lot.
I just was wondering when we talked about, I guess, tracking.
That was something that did come up several times.
Not just tracking, but checking if we go ahead with this.
Right.
To see how it goes.
That was something that came up. So last month it came up about tracking, because they were differentiating between two different types of cards. And so I know that we don't do that now. Do we police those cards of the ones that receive those cards, the free cards?
The
reduced and
for the people that are eligible for
yes.
the free and reduced lunches.
Yes.
Cheryl keeps track of that.
She keeps track of.
But she was saying
that they don't.
She said there was only one or two families.
That makes it. I mean, are we really tracking just one or two families?
But if we're going to do this, how are we going to track it to see
when
how
many buyers, as far as like
partners, how many people are going to take it? Take advantage of it.
Okay.
How much money will that be affecting us?
So the
question.
We've been tracking stuff.
Yeah, we would.
We had talked, Shelley, last time about maybe if we were going to do this, maybe doing like a 1-year kind of trial basis to see how it worked out as well. What do you think of that?
I would hate to try it and then
say, no, it's not working. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
But if it's not working, then you have to say it's not working.
But as the board, we did make that decision.
Right. We will have to make that decision, because we're the ones, we're adopting something that's not
giving her opinion, but we would have that ability to reverse this, right?
Yeah, the city has done it in the past, like, say, with senior garbage rates. They did that quite a few years ago, and they tracked it for a year to see was it beneficial or not. I believe they repealed it when they found, so for sure.
Of course they did.
But I mean, it was a financial.
Of course. I suppose I just have I understand what you guys are saying as far as being homeschoolers and things like that. I know last board meeting we talked about also making that choice of not being within the school district or what have you. There's no denied access here at the library for you to come in and utilize the products and services that are here. The one, I guess, issue that I have in the sense of is if we reduce, which we are looking at some very large expenses over the next couple of years for this library to keep it open and going for all residents and accessibility for everyone as it is right now.
Correct.
So I guess my problem is that if we start removing some of those things, because also it is a choice if you live unincorporated and unincorporated, there's benefits that you receive, there's things that we don't have here, things are more expensive, what have you. Obviously, there's a some sort of formula that tells you who's paying what for a library card. I don't know what any of your homes are valued at, so I wouldn't know what that would be. But one of my problems is that if we go ahead and start doing that and start reducing and reducing, and then that's that much less that we have for a budget to be fiscally responsible here. Mm-hmm. And then what then we would have to do is go back and start asking the taxpayers within the city limits for more money to run this establishment. That's where I have personally, as a board member, a bit of a conflict.
Well, I'm not sure the taxpayers who
would
get it automatically removed from their tax bill would be happy about it either.
I imagine
that there would be some backlash as well.
Yeah.
Shelley, anything
so
else?
Is there anything, as a director, you want to impart wisdom-wise to us?
You do not have to.
As a board? Meaning, like, anything that you would, I'm not a personal, but, like, anything that you would like to say as a director.
I understand both sides of this.
Of course.
Now, as a director.
Of course.
I would love to get books in the hands of every child. As a taxpayer, I understand that as well. So,
but we're not denying access to the books here.
Correct.
I would like to clarify that, because that's something that I too would absolutely not be in agreement with if you're denying books to anyone, obviously. But
this is where I get to say this is a board's decision.
Yes, it is. And we have to make a decision as to if we're going to do this or not. Our president is not here, but we still have to either decide if we're going to approve to adopt this or not. And that's something that we have to vote on tonight, unless there's, I don't think we need to discuss anything further on it. So I'm going to say yay or nay from each one if we're going to adopt or this new
motion.
I will. If we're going to do this tonight. So, and you weren't able to still get Rosie, okay.
No, and I emailed her,
Kim
as well.
Okay.
Can we vote on it? Do we have a
quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum.
So I'm going to say motion to approve to adopt the regulations waiving the non-resident fee for persons under the age of 18. Roll call.
Second.
One second. Okay. All right. Milczewski?
Nay.
Forrestal?
Nay.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reichstech?
Nay.
Schumacher?
Nay.
And Pasola?
Nay.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion not adopted. On to new business. Fiscal year 24, the cost of living for the staff?
Yes. This was included in the budget that we approved, but I just wanted to get on record that it is approved.
Okay.
Let's vote.
Approved and in our budget.
It's a 5% increase. It matches what the city is doing.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that it's a voice vote.
Okay, so we
so
have
I make a motion to approve the fiscal year 24 COLA increase of 5% for staff.
Second. Roll call.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Nay.
Pasola?
Yay.
And Milczewski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Approved. Okay. Library director's goals. We had some goals that were set, and we have two more goals to discuss with us tonight.
Yep. So this is my third one. Goal number three is to create a preliminary 3-year strategic plan to be presented at the April board meeting. I was not here at the April board meeting, so here.
Yes.
So every 3 to 5 years, libraries should undertake a strategic plan to determine what our vision is with goals and objectives, and update maybe our mission statement and values. So our mission statement expresses the purpose of who we are, our vision statement expresses what do we want to accomplish, and then our values and principles obviously dictate that as well, and then our vision also will have our objectives and goals and how we're going to get there. So the first step in that process is to create a committee. This is a very long, intensive process to do. We can do it in-house, or we can have a professional consultant come out and do it as well. It costs money. Mm-hmm. But it will take a group effort to do. First thing I said is planning commission, and that is made up of department heads, myself, the president of the board, and a trustee. We can't have three because that would violate.
Yes.
So, and then it will also include someone from the Friends, probably Friends officers, and then maybe a couple outside community members as well. Mm-hmm. We would have to form focus groups, interviews. We would do a SWOT analysis with the team and do a community survey as well that we can share with the city residents through our water bill, with permission from the city to do. And once we collect all that data, then that's where we form our strategic plan, our goals.
Yes.
I put down just some preliminary things that I was thinking we should look at and consider. It's growing our connection to our community, increasing our visibility with the community as well through marketing communication, creating marketing plans, increasing our knowledge and discovery of how our patrons find information and teaching them where to look for information. And, of course, always equity, diversity, and inclusion. So, yes, this will be several months to create. So that is basically it. And along the way, we will update you monthly on our progress. And we can tweak it as well
yes.
as we go.
Thank you. Very good. Goal number four.
Goal number four is a 10% increase in attendance in library programs and services from the addition of our community engagement marketing coordinator role with monthly statistical data to show. So I have been doing that for the past year-ish.
Yes.
And I included it in your packet. So on page 41, I will compare
yes.
the monthly stats from the current year to the previous year. So, and then I include the percentage change, either up or down. So the past year, I believe, we have a dramatic increase in programs.
Yes.
And that's also because of Jeanette and Mike. He's
yes.
brought a ton of programming to the library
yes.
since he's come on. On page 48 and 49 of the packet, Caitlin has put together a little infographic to talk about some of the high exposure items that have, or programs that have come to the library. We had a paranormal speaker, 130 people, that's been our most successful program yet. That one was free, so that was wonderful. Our mini golf fundraiser, our net profits increased 68% this year because of the marketing that
yes.
Caitlin did and procuring sponsorship.
Nice.
But particularly on page 49, she's done some really nice graphics talking about the Facebook reach out to our patrons and the visits that our patrons have, our hits to our page as well. August is when she started, so you can see
yes.
every month. It's a big improvement from last year.
Definitely.
February is the big one.
Yes.
We had 17.
What do we have going on there?
People. That was mini golf.
Mini golf.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
So, yeah, I believe that her position created here has really created value.
Yes. And that's what we wanted to see. And so that is great news to hear. Next item is we have to schedule a personnel committee meeting. And so personnel committee meeting is myself. Who's on the personnel committee? Myself, and I have my phone here too. So we have to make sure that everyone that's on it.
Personnel committee is Garcia, Isola, Schumacher, and Shelby.
Okay. So we need to schedule a meeting for our library director's evaluation. That would be within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Can you look at your calendars to see or if we're available? Okay, so then we're going to have to set that and get back to you, Shelly. We'll send out an email and get back to you.
Kids set it. Kids yes, set it. And then
yes.
That's how it is.
Okay.
I know.
You want to check with Marcus? Yes, I will. I'll include you in the email.
Thank you.
So, there's no need to go into executive session, and we don't have any new business. So, our meeting at this point is adjourned.